Yachatur Shloki. Ham Sarvasya Prabhava Matasa Vam Pravarta Deyati Matva Bhajantima Buddha Bhava Saman Pitaha.
Krishna's features, like everything is coming from Krishna.
Yes.
It's been explained very nicely. But in the purport, I read in Tripurari Maharaj's explanation. He said, he explained Dhira Lalita and Dhira Prashanta feature of Krishna. Like when we see Krishna in Kurukshetra, he is more like in a Vrajabhava than in Dwarakadish Bhava. So how to see like that means? How like Dhira Prashanta and Dhira Lalita? He said Dhira Lalita is that quality is more.
That's Kurukshetra.
Yeah. So but when we see Krishna in Kurukshetra, it's more like a guru, means like a, he's telling, he's giving advice and he's telling.
Yeah, but he's. I believe, I know, I have the book in front of me, and actually I haven't even read the whole book myself. I've only skimmed a few parts of it, but I recommended it. But I believe that it's because Krishna has four features: Dhiralita, Dhirprashant, Dhirodata, and Dhirodata.
Yeah.
And these are all aspects, four aspects of the, of his Nayak Bhav, called Nayak Bhav, the Bhav of a hero. So when he's speaking about Kurukshetra, Krishna visited Kurukshetra twice. Once when he's about 50 years old, during a solar eclipse. And there he met Radhika, and all gopis, and Nandabhava, and Yashoda. And he came with all the Dwarka Vasis, Vasudeva and Devaki, Rani, Balaram, Subhadra, etc. And later he was in Kurukshetra when he was about 90 or 100, during Kurukshetra battle. So I believe that this Dhiralita feature is at the time in the presence of the gopis, that Kurukshetra Krishna. But he's only saying Kurukshetra when he was at Kurukshetra. But he's saying, is he saying when Krishna was at Kurukshetra during battle of Kurukshetra or during this other thing?
He first explained in this eclipse time, past time, like Krishna went there during the eclipse and all gopis and Radhika, they went there and like this they wanted Krishna in Raja form. So only feature normally we keep in mind, like
Dhira Prashant.
Prashant only. So how to keep that Lalita feature most of the time? Like?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the internal way to see Krishna, just like, and that's what he's bringing out there. He calls it the feeling of the Bhagavad Gita, right? It's called it feeling of Bhagavad Gita. What's the name of the book?
Feeling and philosophy and feeling of Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, philosophy and feelings. Well, I think the clue is in the fact that he's speaking about Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse. Because it's dearly to Nayak, is Krishna with the gopis. And so therefore, we can see, definitely when he was there with the gopis, he was in dearly to mood. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he gives a whole explanation. These four verses actually indicate the gopi bhav. Ham sarvasi prabhu atima bhajanti buddha bhasaman vita. He says that everything comes from Krishna. So Sridhar Maharaj writes, everything comes from Krishna, even this Braja Prem. And so he develops a theme like that. And the gopis, they have Preeti Bhajan, they're serving Krishna with love. So he develops that actually these verses indicate the gopis, because Krishna lights up their hearts. Gyanati Pena Bhashvita Tesham Vivanu Kampantam Gyan. That verse is there, Gyanati Pena Bhashvita Gyanicha Paratarshava. So their hearts become darkened and they feel the darkness of Krishna's separation. And then he reappears to them. And when he reappears, he lights up their heart with his appearance and they again become aware of him and conscious of him. So this, even this verse indicates the gopis. So Krishna Kurukshetra, he abandons his dear Prashant mood. And he meets the gopis privately and he embraces them and kisses them in a private place there. Although, and then he even changes his dress, even adopts, gives up his Rajvesh and adopts Gopavesh. And it just pleased them because they stayed for some time. Even it's explained in some books that he met them in the forest while everyone was sleeping in the camp. and they had a rasa dance at Kurukshetra. So they very much were in the, he was very much displaying physically and emotionally the mood and form of dear Lita Damodar Govinda. And then if you take the, so that's Kurukshetra during the eclipse. Now if you take Kurukshetra 40 years later, 50 years later, when he was with Parthasarathi, then I mean when he was with Arjuna and speaking the Gita, because there's a feeling of Krishna, because that's Kurukshetra, the same place where Gita was spoken, but all the verses put together, they're all spoken to Kurukshetra 50 years after he met the gopis, because the verses that Gita were spoken to Kurukshetra, that's true, but not to the gopis but to Arjuna. But even then, being in that environment of Kurukshetra acts as an udipan, a stimulant. It stimulates his sthayibhav, Krishna's sthayibhav, his madhura rati. Because Krishna is the rasaraj. He's the king of all rasas. So he has all ratis within him, all forms of love. He has dasi rati and sakhi rati, vatsalya rati and madhura rati. All of them, of course, all of them are condensed and contained within madhura rati. But he can express anyone according to who he's with. They have a phrase in English, they say, if you're not with the one you love the one you're with. In other words, your wife's in Bombay and you're in China. Then, okay, you get some Chinese girl. You're not with the one you love the one you're with. So Krishna, he's like, whatever devotee he's with, he loves them. If he's with his friends, he expresses sakirati with them, the most intense and sweet vishramba sakiras. But when he's with the people that are very much his house servants, and they're like servants and friends, but it's very official friendship. Even his friendship with the Pandavas is called Gaurava sakiras, or Gaurava sakiras, which means of awe and reverence, respect, reverential friendship. It's not dasya bhav, it's friendship, but some reverence is there. They know he's God, and they don't want to cross the line too far, but they feel like something like equals, like friends would. But in this Vishramba Sakiras, Sridham and Subal Maramangal, they're friends and they feel equal, but more than just equal, they feel superior to Krishna. They say, what kind of big man are you? You're going around saying you're Giridhari, but we also held our sticks up there. We held our cowherding sticks underneath Govardhan. And if we weren't there beside you, on flanking you on either side, that hill would have quickly crashed down on your head. So we also, but you are the only one that gets all the credit. Yeah. Listen, big man, you're such a cheater. Mm-hmm. You know, we hundreds of us are holding the hill, and you walk away with the credit. This is not very nice. Yeah. So this is their kind of mood. They can go above Krishna. They can defeat him and make him carry them on their shoulders, and so that's when he's expressing sakiras. So with he's on the chariot with Arjuna, so there's sakiras there, but their sakiras is a gaurava. It's not brudge sakiras. Of course, there's an Arjuna Sakha, there's a coward boy named Arjuna, and some acharyas say that's an expansion of Arjuna. There's Arjuna Vaikuntha, there's an eternal Vaikuntha where there's Hastinapur and all this whole mood. Or you can say it's one outer petal of Dwarka, because Krishna is always going back and forth from Hastinapur to Dwarka, or Dwarkadish, let's say, because our Vrindavan Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. Vrindavana pratyajat paramekam nagachati, says in the Padmapuran. Vrindavana pratyaja means tyag, to give up. He never gives up Vrindavan. Eka paramekam nagachati, he doesn't go out even one step. So this is Vrindavan Krishna. But then there's Mathura Krishna, then there's Dwarka Krishna, and these are Vasudeva Krishna. But Yashoda Krishna, Yashoda Nanda, and he's always in Braj. So he has expansions, like Radharani also has three forms. She has Kirtita Sutta, the daughter of Kirtita, or Vrishabhanu Nandini, the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu Nandini, that's one form. Another form is Vyogini Radha and Samyogini. So Samyogini goes to Kurukshetra, and Vyogini feels separation when Krishna goes out for the pasturing grounds or when he goes to Dwarka. So she feels that separation. It's a different form. And there's another form where she's always with Krishna, always in union, and doesn't feel a separation. That's Vrishabhanu Nandini. She never takes a step out. So the yogini, she feels separation. It's a different Radha. But then there's some yogini that meets Krishna in Dwarka. He also, an expansion goes to Dwarka during Nava Vrindavan Leela outside of Dwarka. And she's the one that goes to Kurukshetra. Because Radharani never leaves Vrindavan, so how does she go to Kurukshetra? Mm-hmm. That's some yogini. Well, that's what they say. They say that Mayapur is like Nanda Nandan, because Mayapur is Gokul.
Yeah.
And they say that, what do they say? I forget what they say. That Katwa. Katwa is like Mathura.
Yeah.
Katwa, where Lord Chaitanya took sannyas.
Oh.
And Puri is like Dwarka. That's why you have Jagannath Balaji Subhadra, because he rode on a chariot from Dwarka to Kurukshetra. So this Leela of going on the chariot, because the temple itself, in our viewpoint, represents Dwarka. And Gundicha represents Vrindavan. And Balaram and Krishna, first Balaram goes to Vrindavan, and then Subhadra, then last is Jagannath. And that's how it happened once in Leela. Balaram and Subhadra went in the same chariot at that time, not separate chariots. And Krishna came later. So Jagannath is the last to come out and last to leave. So their mood and bhav, from our Gaudiya's and Vedanta viewpoint, is that Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra going from Dwarka to Vrindavan, and also sometimes they say that, or we say that, the temple represents Kurukshetra. And Lord Chaitanya's mode, because he's in Radha Bhav. He's calling out for Krishna. He's in Radha Bhav, and Jagannath is Krishna. So he's in the mood of taking Krishna from Kurukshetra back to Vrindavan. So going the Rath Yatra is Prem Yatra. It's Radharani attempting to carry Krishna from Kurukshetra back to Vrindavan. And their brother and sister, they go first, so they go on their own, attracted by their own Brijvasi associates from Kurukshetra back to Gundicha, which represents the gardens of Vrindavan. It's all gardens there. And then Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is dancing in such a captivating way that she's leading Jagannath Krishna back to Vrindavan. And sometimes to test Jagannath Krishna's love, then Chaitanya falls behind to see what kind of love, what the extent of her love is, how much she can control her beloved. As soon as Jagannath Krishna's big eyes can't find the golden form of Radha,
yeah,
Gauranga, the beautiful dancer, then he comes to a grinding halt.
Oh, yeah.
He stops his forward march to Vrindavan, because there's no question of Vrindavan without Radha.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question of moving to Vrindavan without Radha. There's no question of attaining Vrindavan without Radha. Hamaradana Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha, Hamaradana Radhe, 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 Primadana Radha, Shri Radha, Shri Radha, Radhe, 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 Shri Radhe, Shri Radhe, Shri Radhe, Hamaradana Radhe, Shri Radhe, Shri Radhe. So,
Gadadhar Pandit also,
he
says, it's like Radha's expansion.
Well, that's in Mayapur Leela. Mayapur Leela, Gadadhar is Radharani's expansion. And that's when Mayapur, Nimai Pandit, Lord Gauranga, he's in Krishna Bhav. And Shiva Sangam, he is in the mood of Krishna. And this even in Niti Leela. Surav Damodar and Rai Ramananda are there in Navadvip, Niti Leela. And Surav Damodar sings different songs according to the time of day, to remind Gauranga, Krishna, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, or he's not really Chaitanya up there, but he's Nimai Pandit or Gauranga, to remind him of Braj Leela. So then he enters in the bhava of Braj. He starts swinging on a swing, then Gadadhar sits next to him and then offers tambul. He takes out some tambul and offers it. You know, all the male personalities identify with their female sarups. So Damodar becomes Alita's Bhav, enters Alita's Bhav, and Rai Ramananda's Vishaka's Bhav, and Shivananda Sain is, and Govindananda Thakur. They all take on their Sakhi Sarups and Mandri Sarups to assist Gauranga's Krishna Bhav, Vrindavan Bhav. And Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani, but when Gadadhar Pandit moves to Puri, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Radha Bhav. Nimai Pandit leaves his Krishna Bhav in Mayapur, and when he goes on sannyas, he's looking for Krishna. So he's Radha Bhav. And then Gadadhar, he turns over Radharani to Gopinath. He says, now you stay with Gopinath. He goes, it can't be two Radhas in the same place.
Yeah.
So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radhabhav, his Krishna becomes Jagannath. He goes every day to see his Jagannath. And he comes every day also to see his Radha, Radha Pandit, and hear Bhagavatam. But now this Radha is taken over with the service of Gopinath. And even there's some writings I've read where Gadadhar has a mandri sroop called Saubhagya Mandri. And when he goes to Puri, he adopts the mood of that Saubhagya Mandri. Otherwise there'd be no chance of Radha mixing with Radha.
Yeah.
So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to hear Bhagavatam, then that Saubhagya Mandri speaking to Radha, Krishna, the mood of Radha. Radha Duty Suvalita, and Radha Bhav and Kanti. Krishna takes the Kanti, the golden effulgence of Radharani, Bahir Radha Antar Krishna. And he takes the Bhav, the Mahabhav, the great love. He captures it and locks, seals it within his heart and tries to find it and relish it and discover it and understand it. Rasaraj becomes Mahabhav. From Bahir Rasaraj, Antir Mahabhav. So that's Rasaraj. Rasaraj Mahabhav, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Riya Satirik, form of the Lord, Adarya, Avatar, overflowing magnanimity, generosity, kindness, and sweet. Absolute charm, coated with sweetness, beauty, love, fulfillment, and satisfaction. It's Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, was that your question answer?
Yeah, I was confused about Gadadhar Pandit.
So yeah, so I didn't finish the Kurukshetra thing.
Yeah.
So we can understand the Dhiralita aspect when Radharani's there, and he does all the things I said. But now, if you try to understand Dhiralita later, when he's there with Arjun, so Arjun is in Sakiras. And it's Gaurava Sakya, it's very much official. And when he saw, although they're fast friends, they would sleep and eat together, sleep in the same bed and do many things, go hunting together in Hastinapur, they would be bored because Krishna, Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna would stay in Hastinapur for 2 or 3 months on the behest of Kunti and Draupadi and Yudhisthira and Arjuna. He wouldn't leave for 2 or 3 months at a time, 5 months. So they get bored, there's no demons to kill. No wars to fight. So they're Kshatriyas. So they have to keep honing their skills, and they have to keep. So they go out in the forest and they hunt porcupine and wild boar and tigers and all these
things. Maharaj, I have one question about this. A few days back, I was preaching to one guy. He's a professional one. And while discussing, he asked me one question. He said, Arjuna was the most dear devotee of Krishna. Arjuna is the most dear one to Krishna. But Arjuna used to eat meat.
Mm.
Then how can you say to us that you don't eat meat and don't do this, and then you can do Krishna Bhakti properly? My answer was very short, but I myself was not satisfied to that. I just said you first become Arjuna, then eat meat. But
I'm not very well versed or very well read in Mahabharata. In fact, although it's a great story, Bhara means heavy. It's heavy because it has philosophical message in it. It's not just story. It's heavily laden with philosophy and teachings on Dharma and religion and all these things. But it's told in a story form. And it's great, and it's great, and it's heavy because it has 100,000 verses, but it's heavy with spiritual topics. But then it's Bharat. It's the history of the land of Bharat, and it's also the history of King Bharat. So all these things are there in Mahabharat title. And I was listening to someone give some classes in English on Mahabharat, but after a few hours I got so bored I couldn't. This fight and that fight. And I just didn't appeal to me. I really wanted to seriously try to, because I read it once, abbreviated edition, abridged edition. And I thought, okay, that's nice. I have some familiarity with some of the ideas, because it's one of the sacred holy books. But compared to the Bhagavatam and our Goswami Granth, I just can't. I just got so dry. And the same speaker was also speaking Bhagavatam, and I don't mind. I can listen to that forever. But Mahabharata, I just cut loose on it. There's four MP3s, and I listened to two or three lectures on one. But from what I can make out, is that these Brahmins that would live in the forest and the hermitages, they would engage in different kinds of yagyas. There's horse sacrifice, ashwamedha yoga, gomedha sacrifice, and various yagyas for various devas, and they offer different animals. And these kshatriyas, like Arjuna and others, they on behalf, and they would kill deer also, and deer and boar and porcupine. There were five animals. There are five wild animals that are permitted in the Dharma Shastras for kshatriyas to kill, and they have to practice their killing. But there was also a connection between the Brahmins, the yogic Brahmins, because I have to understand this is not Kali Yuga, this is Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga was when yagya and puja was going on. So they would kill these animals, Arjuna, etc., especially tigers, deer, and porcupine, and bear, there's a few different ones, wild boar, pigs. Then the animals they would give to the Brahmins. And the Brahmins would use them in sacrifice, yagya, the different devas, Shiva, Brahma, whomever, some Vedic yagyas. And then the skins, the deer skins and tiger skins would be used for chanting and asans, and for those Brahmins. So a seva to the Brahmins, first of all, the killing of the animals. And then the animals that were killed, they were offered in yagya, so they would get new bodies. And the old cow or a cow would be killed, then would get a new body, come out of the fire with a new body. And then, as far as the they were killing animals, as far as whether they're eating them or not, or they may be eating them, it's not clear to me. I can't say for sure that I accept the fact. But certainly Arjuna was killing animals. Then they would give them to the Brahmins, and then they would offer them in yagya. And the animals would get new bodies. And that old body would be offered to some demigod, and that would become Yajna Prasad, and very elaborate and ritual. Then possibly, if it's a fact that Arjuna did eat meat, but I can't say he did, I would rather prefer to say that he did kill animals, which Kshatriyas are allowed to kill animals, certain animals, five or six animals, but not for eating, but for the sake of the Brahmins. They're actually working on behalf of the Brahmins to require animals for their sacrifice. And then I would like to think that he would kill animals as service to the Brahmins, because Kshatriyas are supposed to protect the Brahmins so that they can engage in their yagyas. And when they perform their yagyas, then all the proper rains and seasons come for the benefit of the humanity and the praja. So I'm of the idea that he didn't eat any of those animals. And then if he did, you can find conclusive evidence he did, say he did. Then, because there are also different editions of Mahabharata. Yeah. Or there's different descriptions of the same pastimes, and there may be different Arjunas and different Kalpas. So that gets a little confusing. But at least the Arjuna, we know that we can say if he did eat meat, then it would be Yajna Prasad, which was received after elaborate yagyas and rituals performed by the Brahmins, which not only turned that into prasadam, because it was offered to some deva, as deva prasad, but the animal that was killed was also killed and consecrated in the fire, also received a new body. So therefore, it's really a long, you said it very simply, but it's basically, it's a long way to take Arjuna's killing and supposed or possible eating of animals to the point of opening McDonald's hamburger joints and going in and eating hamburger, you know, dead cow flesh, because you said first of all become Arjuna, that's kind of the same point. But the no one else was entitled to eat. No one, first you have to kill the animal yourself, And not just with a bow and arrow, not with some high-powered rifle from 3 miles away,
yeah.
With a telescope or parrot, whatever they call it, a scope, mm-hmm. Stand in a building and shoot an animal from 3 miles away. But they would shoot the animal face-to-face. And these higher animals, I don't know about the lower ones, but higher animals like tigers, when a kshatriya killed a tiger, he would do a yajna. He would put the tiger in samadhi. He would take the skin and then the nails or whatever, tiger nails, and the skin, and if you use Rasana, you donate to the Brahmins, and they, of course, use it in their yajna, and that animal would get a new body, but somehow the old dead body, whatever it was, they would perform some samadhi for the animal. So it's a very deep process. So what he did, it could not be done now.
Yeah.
And certainly, if someone is a kshatriya, he can go out and hunt, but only 5 animals, so I don't know how many Hindus will go out in the forest and kill and eat a wild boar. Mm-hmm. They could even make it kill themselves, because they're very ferocious. Very ferocious. Very powerful. Very fast running. And then porcupine. It's not like veal cutlet or some kind of horrible dead calf. They take a calf and kill it and eat its meat and all kinds of abominable things they do. And name meat eating. So you can't compare gross meat eating of a Kali Yuga hedonist or materialist to the sanctified, consecrated meat that would be in all according to Shastra and actually Deva Prasad or Yogya Prasad. There's no comparison. But as I said, there are different kalpas, there are different Arjunas, so stories get a little confusing. So we try to take our, because if you read Mahabharata, some editions you won't find that thing about meeting in there. And Mahabharata has been heavily extrapolated. Extrapolated means that people add things to it, like the Bhavishya Purana. If you find very ancient editions of Vishnu Purana written before British time, if you can find. Because British came in 1700s for 250 years in India. If you find Vivishya Puran from 1400s and 1500s, ancient scripts, there's nothing in there written about Muhammad. There's nothing written about Jesus or Coca-Cola or anything else. But when you get the editions during the British time, because that was one of their things, was to rewrite the Vedas. The Muslim thing was to destroy all the Vedas and destroy all the temples. But the British saw that people were too much into the Vedas and the temples, so they didn't destroy the temples, the British.
Yeah.
They would tax the pilgrims and discourage people by saying it's heathen worship and you should worship Christianity. And they put millions of lakhs into promoting Christianity. They were pretty successful. Hospitals, schools, and churches, all that stuff. But one thing they cleverly tried to do is rewrite the Shastra.
Yeah.
So they would take a book like Vivishya Puran and they would write in the prediction of Jesus. See, Jesus predicted here. They would write those shlokas in there. Muhammad's predicted here, Jesus predicted here. Honda cars and or whatever. British East Indian Trading Company is predicted here. So this is actually divine revelation of Vyasadeva, that we've come to sit on your heads and exploit your resources and chop the thumbs off the weavers and do all these good things. So that book is extrapolated, so therefore the Mahabharata may also be rewritten by the British to debilitate or diminish the or undermine the faith of the Vaishnavas or the Krishna Bhaktas by depicting Arjuna as a meat eater. That's one point about this, because this happens a lot, and so if you find old editions of Mahabharata, you may not find that. Then the other thing in Mahabharata, you find how when Dushasana or Shakuni and Dushasana was stripping Draupadi, it's a very curious description, because Mahabharata and Bhagavatam have different descriptions of these events, different angle of vision, maybe even different kalpas. It's every day of Brahma Krishna comes. That's 1,000 yuga cycles. 999 Dwapara yugas go by, and then day's over, then next day, and then Krishna comes, then Lord Chaitanya. So, at least Braj Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna comes. And Radha Krishna, combined form of Chaitanya. Other other Kali Yugas, because Golden Avatar comes every Kali Yuga, but that's Gaura Narayan. It's not Radha Krishna combined. I'm not giving Braja Prem, he's giving Vaikuntha Prem by chanting Hare Krishna. Some esoteric points. So Krishna may come every Dwapara Yuga, but this Krishna Vrindavan showing Braja Leela, the Krishnas that come in other Dwapara Yugas, they only show Mathura Leela and Dwarka Leela. He's born in Mathura and goes to Dwarka Vas. So there's a very, very special day of Brahma, special Kalpa. So there may be different Arjunas depicted, but I was going to say in Mahabharata it shows that Draupadi is very interesting, because when they came to strip her naked, she was having her period. And this is a very very time in the old days, 5,000 years ago, the queen would stay in her palace in her private bedroom. And this was a standard, she would stay there 4 or 5 days. And she wouldn't wear any jewelry, and she'd be very not much, she would only wear one piece of cloth. Just some plain cloth she would wrap around her body. She wouldn't even have a petticoat and sari or whatever, just one piece. Yeah. Like I can take, say I had just set coping on or something, I could take this, like you see sometimes sannyasis do, and they go like this. Mm-hmm. They look pretty cool. Right? Prabhupada's dressed like this once, and tie this behind here. Mm-hmm. And then like this, and that would be pretty cool. And then it goes down to like your thighs. So your backside's covered and everything in front's covered. That's one piece of cloth. So she was like that. It's just muslin cloth. So no jewelry, nothing. And he went in there and grabbed her and pulled her. She has her period. You're not supposed to touch a lady when she has her period. You know, you have to take a bath. And he knows by that type of dress, everyone knows what the situation is, like some muslin cotton, muslin white thing. And they've dragged her into the assembly, royal assembly, all the kings from all over the place. And everyone saw her, when everyone sees that, they know this lady's on her period. Mm-hmm. No jewelry. And
why her husband's not protected her?
Oh, it's Krishna's Leela. Ultimately, it's Krishna's Leela. Mm-hmm. He wanted to show the greatness of Draupadi's surrender, and he wanted to knock out the demons and Kurukshetra. So many things, it's all Krishna, right? Because whatever happens to devotees, Draupadi's a great devotee. So whatever good or bad happens to devotees, it's arranged by Krishna, personally. That's the philosophy and that's the reality. But it has nothing to do with, because at that time, Bhima was his blood was boiling. He was like ready to burn down the whole world. He was so angry, and he even said, he said, Yudhisthira, what is this? He said, why, this is terrible. Just let me go, I'll kill everyone in this assembly. No one will get out of this. Only you and Draupadi will be alive. I'll personally kill all the 100 sons and they're all right here, right now. I take a vow. Let me loose. No, sit down. This is not the time. He said, anyway, I will, because Bhima actually killed all 100 sons. Mm-hmm. And Kurukshetra was Bhima who killed them all. Then he took a vow. He said, I will kill this Shakuni and eat his heart out. Mm-hmm. So later in Kurukshetra, when he killed him, then he ripped his chest open and he grabbed his heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is the tastiest food I ever had. He was like gloating over, jumping up and down. Said, this, I'm drinking the blood. He said, I've eaten so many things, so many meat or this or that, but this is the tastiest thing I've ever had. You know? It's like really gory. So then Bhima is also a devotee of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And Pandavas, they're considered to be pure devotees. And Sakiras. And there they have their place in Vaikuntha. So your friend can ask the same question. So it seems pretty clear that he ate his heart out. Non-veg. But this is all part of Krishna. These are Nitya Parishas, these eternal associates of Krishna. So we really can't imitate. It's called Anusaran, Anukaran. Anukaran means following the teachings, following the footsteps, and Anusaran means imitation. So we're not the premies, we're not the associates of the Lord, we're his servants. So we have no right to imitation. If you, Shiva drank an ocean of poison, when the demigods, Deva, Asur, Kir Samudra Mantan, right? They're churning the milk ocean, Devas and Asur. Then the poison came out and no one wanted to take it. So then Shiva, he's very Ashutosh, easily pleased. Bolanath, very innocent. So then he said, I'll do it. So he drank it and his neck turned blue, Nilakant. But if anybody else drank it, they would die. So if anyone drinks an ocean of poison, they'll die. So he can't imitate, oh, Shiva. He smokes ganja and gas as well, so I'm going to smoke him. Okay, if you're going to imitate Shiva, then drink the poison also. And die right away. They won't do that, so they want to imitate Arjuna and eat meat, chicken and eggs. And so they're all cheaters, these kind of people. They don't really understand the leela of the Lord. So these are some considerations that... Now another interesting point is that when someone asks a question like that, you can say, well, there's many editions of Mahabharata. Many editions are written or extrapolated or interpreted or tampered with by the British. So maybe they wrote into it that Arjuna ate meat. But my understanding is that they were hunters and they would hunt the five different wild animals which are not really edible. Except deer. Deer is somewhat edible. But they would only hunt them on the... The kings would only hunt these animals on the order of the Brahmins. So actually the responsibility for the whole affair was with the Brahmins. Because the Brahmins required animals for yajna. And there's five types of animals, wild boar, deer, lion, etc. So they would, I don't know if they would use all those animals, but the lion they would kill, or tiger, or whatever, tiger. Because the tigers would be killing people, so Kshatriya is supposed to protect them. Then that tiger would be killed, but then it would be offered in yajna. So on the order of the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas would kill various animals, give them to the Brahmins, and the Brahmins would use them for yajna. And if there's any yajna prasad left, then it would be fed to whomever, aboriginals, or people, whether the Kshatriyas ate it or not, that's doubtful. Because the British maybe wrote that into the Mahabharata as an addendum. Okay, they killed the animals, and they leave out the part that was ordered by the Brahmins, and it was used for yajna, and they got a new body or whatever. Yeah, the British were just right. Well, they killed the animals and ate them. Because that's one point. You can say like that, I don't know so much, but this is what I know. And the other point is that we follow our Pramana, is not the Mahabharata, but the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is compiled. Mahabharata was compiled by Veda Vyas, but Srimad Bhagavatam was personally written by him. It's called Samadhi Bhashya. There's a language of his samadhi. He was in samadhi meditating on Krishna Leela and Nitya Leela, or Krishna's Leela. And he got all these ideas and understandings of Krishna's qualities and pastimes, and he wrote them down. So there it describes about the Pandavas. And it says that they were pure devotees of the Lord, and the Lord was always associating with them. It doesn't mention anything in there. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which as a Gaudiya Vaishnava, which I am, my Gaudiya Vaishnava religion, there's no discussion they ate meat or even killed any animals. And moreover, if you read the Mahabharata, it shows, that's why we don't, this is not our main, we may read it, and even BBT, I think, is publishing it or whatever, will publish it. Mahabharata says that when Vriksha got the death notice, he built a house inside of Jamuna, underwater house, and to hide out from Tarksha, because the snakes don't like moving around the water too much, because he was not a water snake. So then he made this watertight house, underwater house, and then some kind of tunnel connecting it. He was just living on fruits, because he wanted to hide out from Tarksha. He didn't want to find him. He's under the water. So people, his servants would bring him fruit every day to eat. He was eating very lightly. So then Tarksha found out that he was hiding there, so he turned himself into a worm. Because snake and worm are similar. They move, they look the same way. Move the same way. So then he entered one of those fruits. And they brought the plate in with the fruits, and then he went to eat the fruit, and Tarksha came out and turned into this huge snake, bit Vriksha, and he died.
And then what happened?
That's what I'm saying. There was no narration of Bhagavatam. Yeah. So, it's quite a different thing. So our Bhagavatam is telling that, as you know, he stayed for 7 days and he gave up eating and sleeping and absorbed himself in hearing the Bhagavatam. And then he went back to Godhead, hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, and all the sages were there when he died. 60,000 sages. Vyasa was there, and Suta Goswami, so many people. Sapta Rishis, they were all there. Shiva, so many great personalities. So that's what we follow, and that's what we believe. But it's a completely different discussion, so it can mean that this is Pariksha Maharaj from different kalpa, or whatever. So when they're telling, well, the Pandavas ate meat, okay, maybe in some other kalpa. But in the most recent kalpa, the most recent day of Brahma, the when Krishna appeared, had all these same leelas, Kurukshetra, Dwarka, Vrindavan, and Kurukshetra battles, and we don't find anything in our Praman that he ate meat. So many answers you can give, but these are some of them. And of course, even if he did, he's a Kshatriya, and Kshatriyas, according to Vedas, they're allowed to eat meat and still be great devotees to the Lord. As long as they meet the conditions, they have to kill them, they have to be offered in sacrifice, and they have to be requested by the Brahmins, and they have to be hungry. But who is doing that today? Who's going in a forest and killing with their bare hands a tiger or a wild boar or porcupine, and then offering to the Brahmins for yajna and taking the yajna prasad? Nobody. Where do you find a kshatriya? No, everyone, as soon as someone sees some fear or danger, they run away. Janmana jayate shudra. Janmana jayate shudra. Everyone's born a shudra. Koilo shudra sambhava.